Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Part of the reward ceremony is going to be, if you were judgmental and critical and you held people to certain standards, then I'm going to hold you to some of that when I'm up here giving rewards. So for this guy who was so forgiving in that, I'm going to say, you know what? Oh, I'm going to give you a reward for this one. But because you were so critical, I'm going to say, no, you didn't forgive others. You didn't do these things. And so, yes, it's the same thing, but the standard of justice was, where was your heart? I think that should compel us to want to be more gracious.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Pastor Troy will be teaching us the biblical view of judging others today. You've heard it said time and time again, don't judge me, who are you to judge? Well, today Pastor Troy will show you through the scriptures that you're called to judge fruit and actions, but you're not to judge unto condemnation. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. As we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, Should We Judge?
Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, Let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. We'll talk about that portion in the very end, but it's like, why is that on there? You know, seems out of context there. Have you ever approached someone with godly counsel? You see something in their life and you make an honest observation. You don't come to put them down or anything, but it kind of comes across that way for them. But that's not your heart. You just want to help someone who's going the wrong direction. They're doing things the wrong way. And so you come with this humble heart to share with them. Very often you find that though they may not have known any other scriptures, they know this one. Don't judge, brother. I've heard it myself. It's in the church. The world isn't going around saying this. Well, they are now because they know the scripture too. Don't judge, brother. Don't judge. You're not a brother to them, but don't judge. I've heard this so many times from Christians. Don't judge. And I always wondered, why? I'm not judging you. I'm not judging your character. I'm looking at fruit. I'm looking at an activity. I'm looking at a direction that your life is taking and saying, this isn't good. So, should we judge? Should we make judgments? If you make any evaluation about somebody's life, they can be very defensive. Well, this scripture does not say or teach us that you can't make any biblical judgment at all concerning an activity or a belief. That's not what Jesus is saying here. It doesn't mean that. If it meant that, then we do have a conflict in the scriptures. Because Jesus also says, do not give that which is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, right in this same text. Now, how are you going to distinguish between a dog and a swine? How are you going to distinguish that without making some sort of a judgment call? So we have to understand, Jesus isn't saying, don't use your brain, don't make judgments. He's talking about a condemnation. Don't be a condemning person. Don't be a critical, judgmental type of a person. Not don't be a discerning person or make a good judgment based upon what you see. In fact, in John's gospel, Jesus himself said, judge with a righteous judgment. He said, judge, but judge with a righteous judgment. So it's obvious that we need to make some kind of judgments. What are they? What kind of judgment should we make? What standards should we use? And how should we make these judgments? Well, that's what Jesus talks about today. Because as he's getting these disciples ready, these brand new disciples to grow and become apostles, those who are sent, they're going to have to make some decisions and judgments. He's teaching them. He's taught them about their heart. He's taught them about their hope, their trust. You know, when these things happen, hey, blessed are you. Don't worry about it. And now he's teaching them to make decisions, to make judgments. And he says in verse 1, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The first thing that we need to consider when we think about making a judgment is consider the standard. Consider the standard you're using to make that judgment. There's a lot of opinions in this room. A lot of things I agree with, a lot of things I like, a lot of things I want. And if I just keep judging you based upon those things, I will turn you into me. And that's not what the Bible teaches us to do. We've all got different gifts. We've all got different personalities. God's created us differently. So we don't judge based upon what I feel and what I think and what I want. Instead, our standard is to be the right standard, which is the Word of God. This is not saying don't judge anything. This is saying don't condemn people, because we are never to be condemning. Only God can do that. We don't know where someone is at in their walk, and we can't condemn them. We don't know if somebody is trying to get someone's attention and grab their heart, and yet they're being stubborn. Yes, it looks like they don't know the Lord at all, but we don't know if there is a work going on. We cannot condemn them or consign them to hell. But we can show them the light, and we do need to make judgments. Why should we not be so condemning and quick to judge people? Because Jesus says, the same measure you use, that's going to be measured back to you. I think he speaks that on two levels. This level, people, if I judge them, I will receive those kind of critical judgments back. And let's consider the Lord in this. We'll talk about that in just a moment. See, if you demand perfection from others, I can guarantee you, you better be perfect. If you're going to be critical about someone else and you're going to demand all these different standards and things, you can expect that they're going to look back to you and say the same things. Just recently, just the other day. Now, I'm very orderly, and so I put my dirty clothes away. You know, you don't have to pick up my socks. Everything's where it should go. That's the way I am. The other day, we were in a hurry. I got sweaty, did some things. So to go to the birthday party, I had to change my shirt. So I changed my shirt. I laid it there because they're all in the van. They're ready to go. We're going. Let's go. Let's go. So I'm changing my shirt, take the shirt off, put it back. I always teach my kids, put your stuff where they go. Put your dirty clothes where it goes. And I say, and I don't want excuses. They always have excuses. Well, I was playing. Well, I don't want any excuses. Well, my son, we came home and my son saw my shirt there. I didn't think anything of it because I never do that. But he goes, you didn't put your shirt in the dirty clothes. I said, we were in a hurry. And he said, no excuses, Dad. Although he's learning. He's getting to a place where he can go toe-to-toe with Scripture almost. But if you're understanding toward others, then very often you'll find that others might be understanding toward you. We should be understanding. We don't know what someone's going through. And then I want you to consider the Lord, the one who gives us our rewards. What if he says, I want your heart to be giving. I want your heart to be to that builds up and lifts others up. And part of the reward ceremony is going to be, if you were judgmental and critical and you held people to certain standards, then I'm going to hold you to some of that when I'm up here giving rewards. So for this guy who was so forgiving in that, I'm going to say, you know what? Oh, I'm going to give you a reward for this one. But because you were so critical, I'm going to say, no, you didn't forgive others. You didn't do these things. And so Yes, it's the same thing, but the standard of justice was, where was your heart? I think that should compel us to want to be more gracious and more forgiving. Not in the sense that we're going to heaven or not. That's the blood of Christ that makes that decision. Faith in Him, but the rewards. It changed the way we thought about this thing. Michael Sewell does a one-man play, does several one-man plays, awesome plays. He did one called The Bema Seat. And he talked, and it speaks of going to heaven and standing before the Lord and being prepared for that day. And I remember one scene. He said he was standing before the Lord and he saw the judgment going on. And one of the guys was standing before him, and God was saying, he was given his rewards, and he said, you need to have the right heart when you do things, and you did so much for me, but your heart wasn't in certain things. And the guy said, Lord, I love you so much. Did I ever do anything with 100%, nothing for me, totally for you? And the Lord said, no, but everything you did do for me, I wanted to reward. If you only did it with 20%, I wanted to reward you. If you did it with 60%, I wanted to reward you. I looked for ways to reward you. I want to bless you and give to you and reward you. That's the heart of the Lord. He's not looking for what He can take away, but for what He can give. So we need to be those who, like the Lord, becoming more like Him, are less critical and more understanding, more willing to build, less judgmental, not judging critically. You know, the Pharisees were the picture of the critical judge. Always judging everything, standing in prayer. Oh, thank you that I'm not like that guy. I pray 3 times. I do all this and I fast, and I don't know what he does. He's a sinner, Lord, but... And they were just so critical of everything the others were doing, lifting themselves above everyone else. You know, criticism is a lot like that. Some show their arrogance by talking about themselves. That's pride. We recognize it. That's all they can talk about. The greatest person on earth is them. Unless they're a believer, then it's Jesus, then them. But there are others whose pride is revealed in a different way. Everyone else is wrong. They're not doing things right. Being critical and putting everyone else down. And while you're putting everyone else down, guess who just silently comes to the top? You. That's what Jesus is opposed to. Scripture says He opposes the proud, but He gives His grace to the humble. Says He opposes the ministry of the proud. Do you want that? You want Him opposing what you're doing? I don't want that. So the Pharisees would just lay all these laws down and lift themselves up. And Jesus one time said that, you Pharisees strain a gnat and yet swallow a camel. A gnat was unclean. A camel was unclean too. They weren't to take in their body these unclean animals. These unclean things. And so what he's saying is, you guys are so detailed, so critical of everything and everyone, and you're straining a gnat, and you don't realize you're missing the whole point, swallowing a camel. It's love that doesn't stand out and blast on Facebook. It doesn't sit and be critical and talk about every bad thing in someone else. Love says builds. Love conceals a matter. It doesn't try to tell everyone about it. We're called to be those who are loving, not judgmental. However, we should judge in order to help. You have to. We have to judge as far as it concerns being discerning, right? The backbone of discernment is judgment. A judgment must be made in order to be discerning. And we are clearly called to be discerning. If I'm to think upon that which is lovely, noble, and pure, the Bible tells me that. Upon those things, think. Set your mind on those things. Let those things be before you and what you take in. If I am to be about that and to think about upon those things, I have to make judgments about what is lovely, what is pure, what is right. I have to make those judgments. And to tell you the truth, the more you spend time with the Lord, your scale, it's a sliding scale, although the sliding is wrong. It's just that we continue to grow and we realize things that we thought were okay before. We grow and we realize, wow, I've changed. All of a sudden, these things that I used to do and used to watch and used to say or used to listen to and laugh at, I don't find the same humor in that. I remember watching movies, and this is just a constant growth pattern for Christians, but you'll take a movie that you used to watch and you go, oh, this was a clean one. This was a good one. I remember this one. And you bring it back in and you go, let's watch it. And you throw it in. You invite that. You're so sure. You invite the kids. Oh, this was clean. My aunt and uncle. Oh, my parents let me watch. This was perfect. And you're like 10 minutes in. You're like, I didn't know all that was in there. It's because you are being cleansed. Things are changing in you and you see it. That's a good thing, by the way. It's a hard thing. We talked about this at our discipleship group because in one sense, you're letting go of everything that you've always been. Everything you've always been okay with. I mean, that's who you are. Everything that's ever made you, you want your kids to experience some of that, but the Lord starts to put his finger on that. And it's like the scripture says, the old is gone and the new has come. The old man is being put behind you and you're being clothed with that new man. It's an amazing thing. It's a work of God. God begins to judge in our hearts right and wrong. He begins to place in our hearts purity and righteousness. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard a church, God's church, market itself by saying, we're a non-judging church? I'm sure it's, you know, you can find it everywhere. We're a non-judgmental, non-judging church. I often wonder, what do they mean by that? Because we must make discerning judgments. So what do you mean? How can you help somebody without making some sort of judgment? You can't. You have to say that's wrong when it's wrong. That's a judgment. But that's offensive to some. We only teach what's right, and then they'll learn what's wrong. That's not the approach Jesus or John the Baptist took, nor Paul or anyone else. The message was, repent. These things are wrong, and you were part of these things, but no more. You guys are arguing amongst yourselves. You guys are doing this. They always pointed out there are wrongs. Now repent, turn. There have to be judgments made. So what do they mean when they say things like we're a non-judging group, we're a non-judging church? Often what they mean is we're not going to make you feel guilty, you know, for being here. Or we're not going to make you feel guilty by the time you're gone. Our sermons are uplifting often rather than convicting. Why would they say that? I can't judge their hearts because I think maybe some have been hurt. And they don't like that critical spirit. And there are many who are out there judging. There are Christian groups out there being so judgmental. God hates this. God hates that. God hates you. I feel better. I feel very uplifted. And that's even in God's conviction, there is still a building up. So that's the condemnation we're talking about here. Don't do that. But we must make judgments and discernments. So we don't want our sermons to just simply be uplifting messages that you could get anywhere in any book. The things that really build us up and uplift us are the things that God mentions and talks about, His Word. It convicts, and yet it gives us direction. It's true. And even though we want to resist it, it's true, and we know it. So when we say things, when the church begins to lean toward being non-judgmental, I can tell you one thing. They are not extremely concerned for your soul. Because when you're concerned for someone's soul, you want to warn them. That's what warning is all about. The spiritual health of an individual begins with a warning. It starts with everyone going the wrong path. You're going the wrong way. When I want to help my children grow in their reading skills, I correct their words. I don't just listen and giggle. They'll get that one day. They'll get it. If they read enough books, they'll get it. Oh, yeah, they're going to get some F's. Probably fail a couple times, but they'll get it. Why force them to go through the failure? Correct them when you see it in a loving way. It's not judgmental of me to go, that word's not chocolate. It's chocolate. It's not judgmental. Sometimes one of my daughters in particular, she's not all that great at, you know, correction. She just wants to do good at everything. And so it's kind of harder to take it. And you can just see the, but judgment, correction must be done, but it has to be done with a loving heart, a heart that's building up. So you don't hammer 90% of the time and then kind of lift them up, just kick them, beat them, make sure they're all bloody, and then go, here. No, let's go for it again. Little bit of correction and a lot of building off of that. So I think one of the reasons that many are involved in non-judgmental services and non-judgmental groups is because it really helps with the numbers. It really does. When Jesus' ministry was growing, it was only when he began to say those hard things that the numbers dwindled. We don't like the hard things, but they're so important for our growth. It's a sign today that the church has bought into the philosophy of the world. The world has confused this idea of love. Do you know that? They're talking love all over. Church, they don't love. They're very intolerant. And that's where their mistake is. The world has confused love with tolerance. Live and let live. That's love. That is not love. For me, to let my children just wander off into the street because, well, they'll learn. And if they get hit, well, I'll just pray that they survive, is not loving at all. I must correct them. I must teach them. I must put them on sure footing. The whole idea of Israel's law, God gave them to help them be a light. They couldn't do it on their own. He wanted to set them up as a light, and he wanted to show them through the law how to look for the Messiah. It was to lead them to the Messiah because they wouldn't be perfect. And so we need those judgments in our lives. You know, there's a coming day when Jesus will make a final judgment, separating the sheep from the goats, because we serve a holy God. He's holy. You know, God is love, but God is holy. He's not holy because he's love. He's love because he's holy. Love is a character of holiness, not the other way around. He's holy. Holy comes first. That love comes to you because he's holy. That love is perfect because he's holy. So, God is holy, and the church is to be a holy place, a place where the saints of God gather together and worship and learn about a holy God. It's never God's intention for the church to be a place where we make the goats feel welcome and pet the goats. It's really a place where we feed the sheep. Sometimes you might seem narrow and judgmental, but Jesus is the one who said, I am the way. There's no other way. When we say that, the world says, that's too narrow. I can't help it. I didn't come up with that one. So now Jesus shows us how to make right judgments with the right heart. We do make certain judgments. How do we make it with the right heart? He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is also available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Begin, but somehow I survive, and I wonder why. Then I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.